run two more chances. Okay, let's move on very quickly. When we are talking about verbs, everybody talking about subroutines. And I like to have verb noun preposition. I particularly like the middle two. Verb noun preposition or verb noun participle. So I really like get record for. Because when I write that, it's get record for dollar next person or something like that. And then I don't have to write a comment. And I win. Okay? Or build profile using. If you introduce the arguments, then you are very much less likely to get the wrong arguments put in the wrong place. Because it won't make sense. So if I said, build profile using, I don't know, audio, then it may make sense. If I said, build profile using listen, then I know something's probably wrong. For variables, I like noun, but much better than that, I like adjective noun. It's okay to have things called source and node and total, but only in a very small scope. Like inside a single loop or something like that. If it's anything more than that tiny scope, then you need to qualify what's going on. Data source, tree node, running total. Running total is just about perfect when it comes to naming. Because it really tells you exactly what's going on, and it tells you that this thing is going to be updated and that it's believable at any point in its update. If I was going to be building a total but I only wanted to trust it at the end, then I'd call it final total or something like that. And then just by the act of naming, I can pick up when people are doing the wrong thing, like printing out the final total halfway through a loop. One special case, of course, is if you're using a subroutine or a variable as a Boolean. It is to generate a Boolean value for a test or to store the result that you're going to then test on. And in that case, you should simply name it after whatever property or predicate it was testing. So you want things like if is valid input and finished, while metadata available from input, metadata equals get metadata for that, last if that. What are you going to write for comments there? I mean, seriously, it's basically pseudocode. But it's pseudocode because we chose the names the right way. All about that. Good naming practices, and in particular, having standard templates, gives you an enormous power in terms of increasing the maintainability of your code. Strongly, strongly recommend that you look into it. You don't have to use my templates, you can use whatever templates you like. The other thing is, when you come across something that doesn't conform to the template, then that immediately, after you're used to seeing things that do conform, rings a little alarm bell. You might not even know why it's ringing the alarm bell. You say, hang on a minute, there's something wrong here. So it can be very helpful for picking up odd things as well. Variables. I love Perl. You probably gathered that by now. But one of the things that I'm least keen about is this heavy reliance on the punctuation variables for doing all kinds of very fundamental things. It's just wrong. Global variables are just wrong. And global variables that can allow me to change how a read line works or how a number is printed, that's scary. Also, the package variables that we have that are great for like a two-liner, don't use them for a two-liner either. Don't use package variables at all. They are bad news. So, don't use them. Unless the only way you can do what you need to do is to use them. So, dollar underscore is probably okay to use. RV and autoload, you don't have a lot of choice. Dollars 1 through 3, you do have some choice that I'll talk about a little bit later. A and B in sorts, at the moment you have very little choice about that. And of course, if you're using particular modules where the module writers haven't seen the light about package variables, then you don't have a choice. So if you have to use those modules, then you use that, but you put pressure on the module writers to change. Don't use them in your own development. If you're writing code, if you're writing modules, do not rely on package variables. Something I see all too often is something like this. We have this package called customer. We're going to provide some subroutines like list customer. But I want to have some kind of terseness option that I can turn on that will give me a smaller representation of that. So I have this option hash up the top, and I can just set it. I can just say terse equals 1. Do I really need to tell people why that's such a terrible, bad idea? We've lost control over this. The odds that people will actually put a 1 in there are infinitesimal. Even though putting a false value in there, there are at least 4 to choose from in Perl. As far as true value is concerned, there are 4 billion. They will use all of them at once. They will write, customer opt terse equals RAND. In the sure and certain knowledge that will almost always work. And that's probably good enough. So if I want to test that they're not doing stupid things like that, then I have to go in here and I have to, every time I call this subroutine, I need to check that someone hasn't taken that package variable and done something dumb with it. On the other hand, if I went with lexical variables and a subroutine to access them, then the problem goes away. I get a little subroutine called terse, and that subroutine can say, if you give me an argument, use that argument as my terseness value. I can do more checks on it than that. If you don't give me an argument, then just use 1. Because if I say terse, then I mean terse. Now I can just write customer terse, and it will be. Or I can write customer terse 0, and it will be. And up here, I can have this actually changing that true or false value to a standard one that I wanted to see all the time. And of course, even if I don't do it now, I still have the option of doing it later. Whereas when I was using a package variable, I was stuck with the interface. Strong recommendation, package variables, bad news, stay away from them. If you are forced to use one, then get to know local. Because if you don't localize a package variable before you change it, then you're making a decision for everyone, everywhere, all the time in your program. So a very typical kind of mistake would be to use something like the YAML module, which is not a mistake in itself. It's a good module. And then say YAML indent equals 4, like Moses said. But the point about that is I have now made that decision for everyone. I don't know what's... How many people use modules that they've never actually looked at the code of? Yeah, of course, that's the whole point of modules. But how do you know they're not using YAML and relying on it being set to 8 or 6 or 17 or something weird? The right thing to do is to localize it. What does local do? Local says, give me another copy of this variable, and then I initialize that other copy, and that other copy takes the place of the original package variable only until the end of the current scope. And when I leave the scope, then the old package variable returns. And everyone else outside the scope is unaffected by my decision. Critically important. Very common error. If you are going to localize, the other thing you have to remember is that when you say local variable, that variable is recreated for you in the usual pristine state of a variable. That is, its value is undef. And if its value is undef, then this is the kind of thing is a mistake. A lot of people think when you localize, you get a local copy with the same value that it had before. That is not the case. So in this case, where we thought we were doing that and then changing it if we needed to, we're in fact not setting it for most of the time. I don't know what YAML would do with an undef indent. It would be interesting to see. But not in my banking code, thank you. So, that should have been this weird looking thing. This is very unusual, I grant you. You say local YAML indent equals YAML indent, and it works. Why does it work? For which half of an assignment gets evaluated first? The right hand side. You can hardly assign if you don't know what the right hand side value is going to be. So that's the old value on the right-hand side. The new value gets assigned that old value. Now, one of the things I most like about this is it signals in very loud flashing lights that something odd is going on here. It makes you think about it. That's a good thing. Because there's something odd is going on here, and it's good that it looks odd. A lot of people use dollar underscore quite often. I don't have a problem with that. You see many coding guidelines that says never use dollar underscore. I don't believe that. I believe it's quite acceptable, and I'll talk about when and where it is acceptable. But the most important thing about using dollar underscore is that you have to remember that it almost always is an alias for something else, for something you're iterating over, usually. So you need to think about any kind of transformation that occurs to dollar underscore, because if it occurs to dollar underscore, it's occurring to something else that isn't inside your block. So here's a very common kind of problem that I see. I want to write a subroutine that returns the trimmed value of a string. The trimmed value of a string being that string with any white space on either side chopped away. That's kind of a useful thing to be able to do. Now I might have written the code, I didn't actually write the code like this, but you might write the code like this. And that is, if there are any arguments, then grab the string, substitute for and after white space, keeping only the stuff in the middle, that gets rid of white space, and then return the string. But I also want to set it up so it's kind of like many of the built-in functions, that if you don't say what to trim, it trims dollar underscore. Now, personally, I wouldn't do that, but people want to do that. So, here's the problem. They do that, and they say, well, if we're doing dollar underscore, then I can just say this without having to bind explicitly. And then I can just return dollar underscore, and I'm good. No, you're not good. You're very, very bad. Because what happens is, if I say print trimmed error message, then indeed it prints out the error message with the white space removed from it, and the variable itself is unchanged. I made a copy of it up there in the second line. But if I go through and say, for all these diagnostics, print the trimmed version of them, which is not an unreasonable thing to write, what happens? Well, dollar underscore gets set to each of the contents of those diagnostics in turn as an alias. So this substitution is actually trimming these original values as well as returning the trimmed version. That kind of bug can be very, very hard to track down. So just say no. Look at every time you are using dollar underscore and doing some kind of change on it, and check what's going on. So, what I should have done is something more like this. And you note the right thing to do actually takes fewer lines. That's so often the case in Perl. It's taken a lot of lines, you need to think about, am I doing this the hard way? Fewer lines you have, fewer places for bugs to hide. That's not just me, there's actual research into this that says the number of bugs in any program is linearly proportional to the length of the program. Fewer characters, fewer bugs. So what do? I say, okay, get me a string. If you couldn't get me a string, then get me a string. But I make a copy of it. Now do the substitution on the copy and return it, and everything works okay. The other point that I want to make here is equally important. The reason that this is so much shorter is because initially I am setting up the data so that I can have one process that I do consistently on that data from there on. Your natural enemy as a coder is the if statement. It hurts you. It makes you have to think. And that's just wrong. If you lay out the code so there's only one path through it, then your testing, that's right, becomes so much easier. Because you don't have this continual branching of possibilities. Okay? You have the test here, but you don't have to do two separate bits of code that are effectively the same bit of code. And that's why this is shorter. Strong recommendation. Now, of course, if it was supposed to be modified its arguments, then I wouldn't have called it trimmed. I would have called it an active verb, an imperative verb. Hey, you, trim. Wait, I'm trim. The other thing I'll say about this is if you have a subroutine whose purpose is to change its arguments, then it's likely that that purpose is solely to change its arguments, the way that chomp does, and it's likely that you're not going to care about the return value. How many people have ever tested the return value of chomp? Yeah, you're just sickos, you guys. Most people don't do that. Why? Because who cares? It just does the job and you move on. So I do this. I say, if you call one of these mutator functions in a non-void context, that's probably an error. Since I'm not returning anything useful for you to check, if you think I am, then you're having a mental problem. So the useful thing for me to do is to kill you. And that will solve your mental problem. You won't do that again. So I do that. Then, of course, I've got this little bit of code where it was complicated enough that I felt that I needed a comma. So I apologize for that. The idea here is if I'm going to go through and trim this thing, that I really do need to be acting on the original arguments, which means that I have to do a for loop over the original arguments. Unless, of course, there isn't an original argument, then I need to do a for loop over dollar underscore, but treating it as an alias. So I do this. I say, if there are arguments, if the Boolean value of this is true, then there'll be something in this, then you use that. Otherwise, you use this. Because I'm doing it in a for loop, then the localized version of dollar underscore here is the same underlying variable as this one is alias to. And it does the right thing. And then I can just say, for each of those, trim it and print it. And I kind of like that. I think that's kind of a neat way of doing things. Okay. Questions?